This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode, The Quest for a Coronavirus Vaccine. Developing vaccines usually involves several carefully planned out steps. They are supposed to safeguard against things going wrong. But some scientists are questioning whether that is the right approach for the situation we're in at the moment, a global pandemic claiming thousands of lives every day. Jad Slaman has this story of one researcher who is challenging the status quo.
In late March, when the U.S. was still talking about coronavirus lockdown in terms of weeks instead of months, when people were wiping down their groceries with disinfectant spray and basically scared to step outside, biologist Preston Estep sat alone in his lab, ready to try a coronavirus vaccine, a vaccine that he had developed in just a few weeks.
I took a small dose, you know, and I usually do this with pharmaceutical therapeutics. I always take a small dose first, just in case, you know, there's some sort of negative reaction.
Preston took maybe a tenth of the total dose, waited a few hours, and then took the rest.
You know, it just felt really good, really positive about taking that first step of taking that first shot of vaccine. And when I say shot, I mean, you know, nasal, a spritz up the nose. So, you know, it was less dramatic than sticking a needle in oneself.
So what drove Preston here, sniffing his own homemade vaccine? It was the way people were dying. Preston was devastated by the thought of people dying alone.
Is it basically older people were being quarantined away from their families, and they were being left to die alone in sealed rooms, hundreds and then thousands of them. And I couldn't stand the idea that we were going to wait a year and a half while these sorts of scenarios played out.
Preston is a geneticist by training, not an immunologist, but he's Harvard-trained and highly connected in scientific circles.
I had studied with some of the smartest and most capable and amazing scientists in the world. I've been up close and personal to some, you know, radical breakthroughs and important scientific work that's happened very quickly.
The way he explained it to me is, it's not so much that he was convinced he could do something about the coronavirus. More, he just wasn't convinced that he'd be totally useless. He assembled the Rapid Development Vaccine Collaborative, RADVAC, essentially a posse of scientists that he'd known from previous work. Preston found it wasn't all that hard to get the band back together. Scientists, like many of the rest of us, had their careers upended by March of 2020. A lot of them were out of work, or at least cut off from whatever they were researching at the time, thanks to coronavirus restrictions. One of his collaborators even had a lab space.
We had a fully stocked professional biotech lab basically ready to go.
And they were off. Something I was surprised to learn from Preston, and as I looked into vaccine development in general, is it's not all that hard to create one from a technical standpoint. It's not of the same engineering order as, say, making some kind of nuclear reactor. Preston found there was already decades-old technology that had been tested in humans that he could use to deliver the vaccine in a nasal spray.
You can form gel nanoparticles that are about the size of a virus and that cross the mucous membrane because of both the size and the chemical properties. And it acts as an ideal intranasal vaccine delivery vehicle.
There's basically five ingredients to form those particles, and they're all readily available. To get the immune response, Preston's team used little bits of artificially synthesized protein that mimic bits of the coronavirus.
It basically all came together very quickly. Within a week or two, I had a basic design.
So if creating a vaccine is the easy part, it's testing it that gets tricky, figuring out if it's safe and effective before distributing it to literally every living human being on the planet. The only ethical test subject, he figured, was himself. Since taking that first dose in March, Preston and his collaborators have developed 8 more versions of the vaccine and tried them all.
We volunteered ourselves as the designers of the vaccine. We decided that the only way, you know, to create that rapid feedback loop of design iterations and testing was to use it on ourselves.
Design, test, look for the immune response, improve, design, test, improve. It's a nimble, small-scale operation outside of the rigid, months-long phases big pharma companies operate under. What the world calls warp speed, the way pharmaceutical giants and governments are working together to create a vaccine in 18 months rather than the usual span of several years, to Preston, is slow motion. His group wants any scientist or anyone with access to a lab and enough know-how to be able to mix up their vaccine to have their recipe. All their research is open source and free.
So for a commercial vaccine that is going to reach population scales, there are multiple steps that are important to take, some of which are probably more designed for a non-pandemic situation. Each one of those steps slows down the process incrementally.
There's two things Preston thinks the rest of the scientific establishment is missing in the COVID moment. One is the idea that desperate times call for desperate measures.
The Hippocratic Oath, you know, or you know, other similar kinds of ideologies. You know, first do no harm. But when we're talking about public health scale measures, do no harm is not an option. In doing nothing is doing harm.
And the second idea is that his desperate measures aren't actually all that desperate.
I think that people are not weighing the appropriate risks. They're overweighting the risks of the vaccines. They're underweighting the risks of the virus. I don't think that, you know, the vaccines that have the least of the safety features that, you know, might cross the finish line, you know, into commercial availability, I can't even imagine that they would cause even, you know, one-tenth of the harm that the virus is causing.
The way he sees it, there's this hyper-focus on vaccine safety slowing the rollout that ignores the real devastation that the virus is doing right now, every single day that passes without a vaccine.
Have you ever heard of a vaccine that has caused 1,000 people a day to die? And, you know, this is what's happening in the U.S. today. 1,000 people a day are dying. I can't even imagine, you know, a vaccine coming from any of the top pharma that would cause that kind of harm. You know, there's this acceptance of the harm that the virus is doing because we can't, you know, we don't have the power to just turn it off.
No one company or government is solely or essentially responsible for the virus. It comes from nature, and many epidemiologists say a pandemic of this kind was more of a when, not an if. A vaccine, though, is different. Someone, some organization, company, government has to create it and make the decision to distribute it. And if it hurts people, it becomes really easy to cast really specific blame. In short, it's risky. And Preston says the problem is we humans are really bad at understanding risk.
I think this is really one of the most memorable psychological experiments, you know, in all of our histories. You know, we are living through a time where people are failing, you know, governments are failing, every organization is failing an experiment on risk balancing.
I gotta admit, after my conversation with Preston, I thought about the virus and our response to it differently. It's easy to forget that the world is going through something that it's never been through before. We're all living through an experiment, and even the experts are amateurs in a way. In the meantime, Preston says his group still doesn't know how robust the immune protection is that you get from their vaccine or how long it lasts, which that's actually going to be a challenge for the mainstream vaccine producers as well. So these days, even after 8 doses of coronavirus vaccine, Preston still wears a mask, still practices social distance. Anything less just wouldn't be worth the risk. For The Pulse, I'm Jad Slaman.